Hey, this is Talk with Rollshare. I'm Sophie Smallwood, co-founder of Rollshare.com. Today, we talk with Kyu Hamirani, the head of people ops at Airbnb. He shares with us interesting insights on his future of work vision, how Airbnb focuses on agile skills, and a twist on role sharing. Kyu, it's great to talk with you today. I read an article recently about how Airbnb is laser-focused on employee experience, and I'd love to understand how your role impacts that.
Yeah, sure. So I've been with Airbnb for about 7 months now, and I'm leading up the people operations function. And one of my main goals at Airbnb is how do we ensure that it's twofold. One is how do we build our programs for operations in terms of HR operations to ensure that we're not sacrificing the employee experience in the process, because typically as you build things for scale, you tend to make it a little less personalized because you have to deal with so many more individuals. So really setting up all the programs from scratch, operations in HR at Airbnb has not typically had a strong focus because we haven't hit the critical mass yet, which we have recently in the past few years, and we're going to continue to grow. How do we bring efficiencies without growing our own ops headcount to match the hypergrowth we're in? And then simultaneously, it's also kind of on the talent front is how do we motivate the HR ops groups to understand that they can do a variety of tasks within, if we just keep the HR hat on for a second. Within HR, there are multiple hats. You know, if you talk about a very myopic version of role sharing, how do individuals in the operations function get exposure to a variety of roles in HR just by being an ops? So it could be benefits, comp, recruiting, because ops touches all those pieces, and really building a career progression map for, you know, this is how you could do multiple roles while you're in ops. And then this prepares you for a role in HR or outside HR, because shared services and operational frameworks in HR are relatively new. When I say new, maybe in the last 5 to 10 years where it's been a focus in HR, but it's not a new concept. It's been leveraged by functions across finance and IT for a while now. So really kind of cross-pollinating. And a lot of the operational work that we do almost on a day-to-day basis partners with legal, finance, IT, payroll. So the nature of our role is cross-functional. So how do we make sure we not just collaborate, but also think through other functional responsibilities to make sure we are keeping ours intact?
Interesting. Are you seeing that as a trend today, that people are looking to share a role with someone to get exposure to different parts of a business?
Yes, I am. And I would go to the extent to say that I think, you know, one of the few, so prior to Airbnb, I was at Jones Lang LaSalle, very, very big scale. My shared service center just for HR was 60 people. So I had, you know, I had to figure out how do I motivate them and give them cross experiences. I think one of the things we talked about there, and I'm focusing more on as I build not just a career framework, but also onboard new employees into hiring into the ops framework, is I think the key is really to, you know, one of the extreme points of view, which I do believe in, is a futuristic job description is not really what you need to do today. It's, do you have the learning agility? Are you adaptable? Are you willing to just jump in an ambiguous situation and figure it out? Because I think truly one of the perks of being in an operational type role is if we just thought in HR operations just about what we did in HR, we would never be successful. So yes, it's probably an informal role sharing, but we have to think through what finance needs, what payroll needs, what legal needs. I'll hit on a personal note really quick, but I started my career, so I'm an electrical engineer. I did electrical engineering in undergrad. I worked in financial operations for 5 years, did global strategy with Aon for a few years, ran my own companies, and then I landed in HR for the last 8 years. And one of the things that I've learned is it's because I had non-HR experience through my career is why I'm so successful in HR. And I think that kind of is telling on, you know, breaking down the silos, if you will, on your expertise within a function or even within a group or within a company to a large extent, where you need those experiences. And the only way you can do that in a non-linear fashion, like I ended up doing over my career, is promoting it sooner in terms of your responsibility is to manage finance and HR operations, just as an example, or finance and HR and, you know, payroll systems, because we're all on the same system. So I think traditionally it's been a little hard because leaderships have been functionalized by an area of focus. And obviously each, you know, the traditional way of aligning budgets, aligning priorities and goals, and they don't always synergize. So I think one of the futures of work is just going to be, how do we just look for the person who is who has all the agility dimensions versus having a core skill set on processing something that we do today that may change significantly tomorrow?
What you're saying around agility reminds me a bit of the immune system. I read somewhere recently that people who have diverse backgrounds have stronger immune systems. In this case, diverse exposure to different roles or skills would make you stronger inside of a company. Makes sense to me. So when I initially reached out to you, Q, we're a startup, RoleShare, we're the smart matching site for people who want to share roles. What was it about what we're doing that intrigued you?
I think initially it's just thinking out of the box, and not just thinking out of the box, but like thinking futuristic in an area that typically has been ignored, for lack of better words. And the way I operate is I try to think similarly, and I'm also involved in a lot of HR tech startups, both on a strategic advising capability and also just keeping my eye out there. So it just aligned with A, I was intrigued by what you guys are trying to do because, you know, having a contingent workforce, to your point earlier, the gig economy becoming more and more a significant portion of a workforce for a company, we have to factor that how they operate, how they work, and not a lot of emphasis is typically faced on that kind of population. So I was just intrigued and I wanted to, you know, role sharing, just given my background, have worked in four different functions and landed in HR for the last 8 years. I've seen it firsthand and was just intrigued and wanted to talk more and see what I could learn from what you guys are doing and what I can share from my experiences.
Great. So we think one of the main benefits of sharing a role, and the way traditionally sharing a role, as we discussed, it's about two people who are looking for extra career flexibility, whatever the reason behind the need for that flexibility, right? They want exposure to different parts of the business. That could be the flexibility they want, or it could be that actually they just want more time to do other things that are complete different passions outside of work, right? So the why is up to the individual. But we believe that it's also a really great way to bring in workforce diversity at varying levels of organizations. And whereas in the past, you might have when you were putting a role out on LinkedIn and you're looking to fill it, you might have only individuals who are looking for full-time roles. And so there's a whole pool of candidates out there that you can't touch because they're not looking for full-time, right? And so this helps drive diversity. But I would love to get your take and vision. So if we were to look forward 5 years from now.
So I think the vision would be to have kind of two dimensions. One is the traditional dimension influx more into the population, like you said, in terms of having someone who has not run a function or who has no experience in an area and giving them the opportunity to do that. That is something that's not new, but it's not necessarily been done well in a lot of organizations, meaning promoting internal mobility, giving them the platform to say, okay, you can do another project, but it's going to take time. So it's not like we're not going to factor in when you do it, but we'll just say you do it. And then the other piece is, I think, just promoting, you know, part-time work options for individuals. And I think it's probably being done now at organizations more on a reactive level. So for example, if someone has been in an organization for long and they have a different motivation, then it's entertained because of the kind of institutional knowledge that person has developed. I think where we need to head is doing that on the front end as well, to recognize that the more diverse skill sets you have, so if you have, you know, multiple part-time folks versus one, that automatically in my mind is diverse skill sets because each individual is different in the way they think and the way they would have applied their skill sets. I think that's where we need to focus on. And I'm not, you know, I think we have to figure out in terms of the recruiting cycle, you know, how does that impact recruiting? Because obviously then you're potentially looking at additional exponential recruiting capacity. So I think that's something that organizations have to figure out in terms of how do you invest on the front end if you want to kind of promote that flexibility. And then the third dimension is just contingent, the gig economy, right? How do they fit into this whole picture? Often they fitted in on, again, a reactive basis on the need for work being done, not so much on, they're part of the gig economy. They may not be employees, but they could add equal or more value than in terms of skill sets and what we can do to progress. So how do you integrate that workforce into simple things like team meetings? I've been at organizations where the gig economy or the contingent workforce hasn't been included in any team meetings for multiple reasons. There are complexities on that too. So I'm not saying that's straight up the right answer, but how do you give them enough context so they can add value and feel engaged and then promote that sharing. So I think we have a long ways to go in general, not for Airbnb specifically, but as organizations. I think Airbnb typically does a better job than a lot of my prior companies in the sense where, you know, we look at the agility piece when we are promoting internal mobility or if individuals are seeking out other roles because of the nature of us being in hypergrowth, right? So, you know, a function that may exist today didn't exist a year ago. So it's not like you're trying to move to a function that existed. It's growing. So everyone gets that. So I think that's where we need to go. But there is some work to be done, not just in HR, but across the organizations to say, yes, I'm in this function and I'm going to support it. And that really comes at the leadership vision level, all buying into the fact that this is good for our business in the long run. We will do this collectively because what sometimes ends up happening is one group will do it. The other group doesn't really see the benefit and won't do it. And that's not the best use of it either. So
I understand Airbnb has healthy employee benefits packages, but I really like what you said around proactive versus reactive approaches to flexible work. And I'm curious what you think it will take to get to a proactive approach on all flexible work options.
How do we make sure the people managers, who are a critical piece in the workforce management, how are they geared and equipped to make sure that when someone's going out on leave or has a different priority or wants to do something different, how do we approach that in a kind of non-traditional sense? Because the traditional is, they need to do something else. I just need someone full-time or this won't work for me and we should figure out a different solution to some extent. How do we equip people managers to say, you know, these are the benefits. These are what you should be doing. This is what you should help them because of their goals. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are in an economy today or in a world, I should say, where if you don't factor in what the individual is voicing to us in terms of their preference and personal situation, they're eventually going to feel disengaged because they're not going to feel the sense of belonging and commitment from leadership to them, right? And all this hinges on the traditional thing, which is still really important, is it's a two-way street between the organization and leadership really working with the workforce to make them feel engaged and belong in any scenario that they bring across. So I think we have, like a lot of organizations, potentially just work to do on how do we make sure we help our managers be more equipped. And then, you know, I think in general, we are very, very flexible. You know, we talked even about the smaller things like work from home. You know, it sounds very basic, but I have worked in organizations where they don't allow work from home. Those have become necessities today. So we do a good job at Airbnb, but when we think of the overall ecosystem, you know, working from home, allowing it is one thing, but how do we give them the tools and skill sets? So if they are working from home, both the individual and the manager, they can stay connected. So there's multiple dimensions, I think, that this has to kind of play out together to promote just the ability to be flexible in conjunction with getting more new experiences in conjunction with making sure that they get the right support to do it. Because it's one thing just saying do it, and it's another making sure that they're successful when they choose to do it.
Okay, so you need technology in order to properly enable flexible working, including role sharing. The good news is that there are a ton of HR software tools out there today that didn't exist in the years previously. So this is all perfect timing. Let me ask you, what is the first word that pops to mind when I say job sharing or role sharing?
Cross-pollination. That's two words, but that's what comes to mind.
So job sharing has been around for a while. About 40% of the Fortune 100 top companies offer it as a perk, but adoption inside of those companies is still relatively low. Why do you think that is?
I think it's twofold. One is, I think the organizations are, today's organization, if you look at a traditional organization that's, you know, maybe a Fortune 500, it's very set up in a way where the top down, the way the organizations are set up, are relatively siloed, for lack of a better word. Each organization has very specific goals. They have very specific priorities. And I think that's what drives the overall kind of motivation on what they are focused on. So it's not, I don't think it's to the extent where people don't want to support it. I think they are just naturally, based on the org structures of organizations, fairly tunnel visioned to some extent on their own function. And this is why I think even to support this and to make it happen, it has to start at almost like a the role sharing, not just the concept, but actually the practical aspect of it, it needs to start at the leadership level and kind of propagate its way down, because otherwise you just end up hitting conflicting priorities. And so I think that's the big, I think the traditional or the org structure of an organization has played a big piece in, you know, how they would support it and how they would cross collaborate or help facilitate cross pollination.
What you said earlier around senior leaders leading by example and sharing roles themselves, I think is really important when it comes to driving adoption inside of a company, leading inspiration. Champion communities are extremely important. And within that community, you need to make sure you have a representative sample of the organization. Obviously, senior leaders are a critical piece of that. I understand today Airbnb does not offer the ability for two people to share a role formally. Is this something you would offer in the future, perhaps?
I think we'll have to over time. I think both Airbnb being on the cutting edge of just people practices and experiences, we do some amazing stuff here, which is what attracted me to come here. I think we will have to do it over time, because I think that's where the workforce is going. I think multiple experiences and having, you know, just not even within a company, multiple companies maybe at a time, or your own company and another company is kind of where the workforce or the are not just workforce, people are going. And I think we'll have to over time.
So let's say tomorrow Airbnb decides to formally offer the ability to share roles. What do you think the challenges would be?
How do we make sure we continue to be collaborative and efficient? Because sometimes one of the things are I can, if I'm just thinking out loud, is you could have two people in the role working different schedules, but the projects move so quick, the organization changes so quick that that might be a tough challenge to keep up with from my perspective. So I think that'll be a big one on, yes, doing it, but how do you make sure while you're doing it, you're not causing too much disruption? Because there is value in having someone do something continuously for a period, if we keep the rest of the dimensions aside for a second.
From a recruiting perspective, what are some of the things you would need to consider for candidates who want to share a role?
I think we, you know, I think purely from a recruiting capacity, it sounds like, you know, when you're looking at two candidates and pushing them through versus one, you're going to have, or just multiple in a role sharing, you're going to need more recruiting capacity is my thought process on evaluating the roles, making sure they kind of not just recruiting capacity, even interview capacity and overall capacity. And in an environment where we're in hyper growth and we need to hire a lot and we're already over capacity from a recruiting standpoint, I think that makes it challenging.
And operationally speaking, what are some of the things you would need to consider?
Is making sure that we have the capacity to onboard, to hire them in our systems, to make sure all the other capacities that are needed, essentially to funnel more people through, even though they are doing the same job. It's still, if two people join our firm today or one, you know, we have to make sure they go through our onboarding, intense onboarding process. So that team needs to be at capacity. So there's just a pipeline thing, because I think if you have two or three people doing a role share, you have to make sure that they are embedded in the culture and they're onboarded exactly the same way to make sure that, you know, our overall DNA is preserved.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the benefits might be from day one?
I think the benefit would be you have, you know, diverse and complementary skill sets. But I think the flip side of that is also, you know, the biggest thing I've learned working in HR is people are different, and how people synergize and collaborate with each other is somewhat unpredictable.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, Airbnb probably has queues of qualified candidates waiting to join your organization. How accommodating do you need to be to your existing employees to keep them engaged?
I was just going to say, you know, the folks that go through our recruiting process and are part of our organization go through a very, very stringent recruiting process, not just on skills, but we have culture fits, we have core value of evaluations, where we have people that are specifically trained, that are volunteers in our current organization to evaluate on fits. So people that have made it into our organization, they're in for a reason that we believe that they are aligned with us, and we've done a lot of pre-work to make sure that happens. So our focus is always on making sure that irrespective if there's a long line out the door, we have to make sure that we kind of keep them engaged, be it through internal mobility, be it through role sharing options, flexible work. That is a focus. And I honestly think that should be a focus for any organization. I think just relying on external candidates only, or thinking they could fill it all the time, is a lot. From my perspective, I don't think that's a healthy organization.
And that was Kyuha Marani, the head of people ops at Airbnb. I found his approach to looking at agility skills when searching for talent quite refreshing. I was also intrigued to hear they consider role sharing as a way to give exposure to individuals in different parts of the business. Thanks for listening, and join us for the next episode of Talk with Roleshare.